How many of you glad you're here? Say amen. Amen. Let me welcome everybody that joins us now through the media audience and all those especially on the internet. And I know this morning we've got people listening from six different states. And Brother Jim just mentioned to me when I went back through the back there a while ago. And I thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for all those of you friends who are joining us today through the internet and by the radio. We're sure glad that you're part of the services from Benson Grove Baptist Church. And again, we're sure glad you're here. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter number 19. This is Missions Month. We had a wonderful missions conference last weekend with Brother David. And it blessed all those who were here on Saturday and Sunday, both services. Very unique, and it's very different, very personal. And I think it was a blessing to all those who were here. The Lord Jesus Christ died to save sinners, and he saved us. And Paul said that we, like others, have turned from idols to serve the true and the living God. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. I know my name is written there. If you know that, say amen this morning. I know I'm saved. But God didn't just save you to sit. He saved you to serve. Every one of you are to be missionaries. This whole church is about missions. The reason churches are dying across this country is because people will not obey the Lord. God is He wants to bless. He will bless. And he said the gates of hell will not prevail against his plan. And if you'll be faithful to him, God bless. Every church ought to grow. Every church ought to reach souls for Christ. Every church ought to be starting other churches. Amen. With that said, I want to ask you to pray for Brother Tom Robertson. You know, Brother Tom's been very faithful and had a little mission church there by his house for a few years now and had many people saved and born again. I tell you, I know they really get saved because he baptizes them in a mountain stream behind his house. He's baptized in the wintertime in that. And I told him, if anybody walk in that cold water and get baptized in the winter, they got to be saved. Amen. But he's been praying for some time that God would provide them another meeting place, a place where they could be, I guess you'd say, more visible than where they are. They led a lot of people to the Lord. And many of the converts that they had ended up settling in other churches because it's so far back in there in the hollow where he lives at. God is providing a church building. I can't go into a lot of detail, but I will tell you this. The original building was built in 1826, and the building that they're going to have was built in 1876. Right now, their plan is to have their very first service in that auditorium, in that building. It has a little fellowship hall with it. It's like I said, it's been 1876. The fellowship hall was not built then. It was added later. But they're going to have possession of that building in just a few weeks. They're looking for their first service to be the first Sunday in April. Now, I kind of semi-made a commitment to him that if he needed our help, we wanted to help him in any kind of way we could from a church. I know you love Brother Tom and want to help him. And they may be doing some just distributing flyers around in the area where the church is at to let the people know who they are and what they're doing and what kind of church it'll be. And as you know, Brother Tom just has a small group. But I told him maybe some of our folk who want to go up there and help. Go up and do a mission work. And this is Missions Month. And what a time it'd be if you could go up to the Shenandoah Valley. That'd be suffering for Jesus, wouldn't it? Go up there in those beautiful mountains, Shenandoah Valley, and just go through and help pass out some flyers about the church. And I tell you, we're challenging everybody in the month of April to be faithful to every service. Now, you're sitting here this morning, but in the month of April, I want you to get your family together and make a commitment. Will you give the Lord 1 month? Now, we're going to have the drama, so we have a lot of special things going on. And we don't have a service on Sunday evening on Easter, but we do have a sunrise service. I'd like for you to make a commitment to the Lord that for 1 month, you'll be in every service at Benson Grove Baptist Church if you're not working or sick, if you're not out of town or whatever. For every family in our church, every church family member, to be present Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, if at all possible. And if you're in another church ministry, and if you're doing some other things, I understand that. And this morning, we got folk out on the ball field this morning doing evangelism. But just give the Lord, it's kind of like tithing. I try to get people to tithe if they'll tithe for 1 month and then try it again for the second month. But if you'd be faithful and just say, God, I'm going to give you the month of April. You died on the cross for me. And then the month of April, we're going to go to church every time the doors are open. We're going to try to be there. I hope you'll do that. Now, with that said, they're going to have their first service the first Sunday of April. And I was thinking, I told my wife, I said, they got just a little handful, and that auditorium is going to hold about 200. It's an old-time primitive Baptist church is what it is, and they're going to have it reopened. Everything's going to be good. But the auditorium, he said, will hold about 200. Like I said about us coming over here, they'll be like a BB in a bathtub. But it sure be, if somebody got a burden, and you said, Brother Bill, I think I'd like to go up on Saturday maybe, and help them pass out some flyers, and then be there to support Brother Tom on the first Sunday in April in that new building, we'd give you a dispensation to do that. Amen? And we'd count you present here if you'd go up and do that. I just ask you to pray about that, because I want to get you doing something for the Lord. I mean, just get out and touch lives for Jesus. Love somebody in Jesus' name. But look at this passage of Scripture. I dealt Wednesday night with the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that says that we are ambassadors for Christ and we have the word of reconciliation. But this morning, I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on this thought, the master's mission statement. You go in places of business now or corporations or hospitals, if you look around, most every one of them have something called a mission statement. It's what they're all about, what their emphasis is on, and what they plan to do in that place. Our master, the Lord Jesus Christ, had a mission statement, and it's in this text that I'm going to read to you now. Look in the book of Luke and chapter number 19 and verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Verse 10 is the mission statement of the master. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's his mission. That was his mission statement. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you for letting me be here today. I ask God for your physical touch upon me. Help me to be able to preach today, our Father, with the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, you touch me physically that I could be able to physically bring the message. I pray, God, this morning that, God, you'd bless. Thank you for the singing of the choir and the congregation and the group just now. Lord, I want to thank you for the truths that were in those songs and for Brother Brad leading the congregation. And I pray now, God, for your anointing. Our Father, I bow before you and confess that there's no good thing in me. And apart from the work of the Holy Ghost, nothing of eternal consequence will take place. I pray, God, you'd speak to heart. Lord, it's not by the will of man, the will of flesh, but it's by the Holy Ghost. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God will deal with somebody's heart here in the building or in the radio audience. And God, we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Here's a wonderful story, and I'm afraid sometimes we look at Bible truths and Bible stories and we have simplified them, and they are very simple, but we kind of overlook them. How many of you know the little song about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And you know what happened? Jesus came by and he said, Come down, Zacchaeus, for I'm going to your house to stay. We sing that little song, the kids sing that little song, but there's a wonderful truth in here. First of all, by way of introduction, I want to share with you some things about Zacchaeus. I noticed as I was reading through here several things that you might want to note as you go through here with me and look at them. First of all, I want you to note his condition. the condition of this man. The Bible describes him in this way. It says that Zacchaeus was the chief of the publicans. Underline that word, the. He wasn't just one of the publicans. He was the top dog. He was the chief of the publicans. Publicans were those Jews who had sided with Rome and became tax collectors. And he worked for the IRS or the RIS, Roman whatever. But anyhow, they would take, and the way they did that is, say that Rome would assess a certain amount of a tax on an individual. And so the publican, he would go and he said, now I'm representing the Roman Empire and you have to pay so much tax. Well, if the Romans had said, we need $10 tax from this man, he'd go and say, the Roman government said, you need $12 tax. And so that's how he got to be a rich man. He was a chief publican, but he was a cheat. He was a sinner. He was stealing from his own people, padding his own pocket, employed by the Roman government, sold out to the invaders of their country, those who dominated them. And he was here, he's described as being the chief. He was the greatest. And he was very rich, but he was very lost. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to point that out in a few minutes. And you know, you can have everything this world's got to offer. You can be renowned. You could be the chief. You could be the best there is at your field. Or you could be wealthy. But if you're lost, you have nothing. But then I notice not only his condition, but I want you to notice his curiosity. Notice what the Bible says about him. He was a rich man. And it says in verse 3 that he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now, I like that. I like what the Holy Ghost of God noted there. Something's taking place in this man's heart. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me, and no man comes to me except the Holy Ghost of God draw him. God and the Holy Ghost is doing something to this man. On a normal day, this man be bailing money. He'd be gathering money. But something unique's got a hold of his heart. Jesus is coming that way. And curiosity's risen in him. But notice how the Holy Ghost of God words that. It didn't say he wants to see what Jesus does. Jesus was renowned for doing miracles, feeding 5,000, raising the dead, healing blind eyes, healing lame limbs, all those things. But he said, I want to see who he is. And I'm going to tell you right now what Jesus has done so far as those miracles are concerned and all those other things. He's interested in who he is. Because if you don't know who Jesus is, it will determine your eternal destiny. Who is Jesus in your mind? You can look at any religion, any cult in the world, and you don't ask anything of what they believe about benevolent deeds, about doing good, about living moral lives, being clean. Don't ask them anything about what they believe about marriage. Ask one question, who is Jesus? If you can ask that question, they'll either answer it biblically or they answer it in error. Who do men say that I am, Jesus said. Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. You're the Savior of the world. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And Zacchaeus wanted to know who he was. I want to know who he is. But now notice, not only do I notice his curiosity, but I notice his commitment. Now keep in mind, this man is the chief among the publicans. He is known all over that community. He is a man of distinction, a man of wealth. I'm sure he had a wonderful mansion, probably in a gated community or either an impairment of his very own. He's renowned. But now notice his commitment. Verse number 3, it said he sought to see who Jesus was. This is not a casual observer. He has made a diligent effort. He sought it. The same word is used when it says that when the shepherd puts his sheep in and he has 99 and there's one lost. And he said he seeks and he sought that sheep until he found him. It means that he will not quit. He will not be deterred. It means he is regardless of what it takes, he's going to find out who Jesus is. And when the Holy Ghost of God gets hold of your heart just right, you won't be just a casual observer. You don't want to just come in and go out. You don't want to just play religion. You don't want to just make a pretense and just kind of have enough religion to soothe your conscience. You really want to know the truth. You want to know the life and death difference between what it means to be saved and what it means to be lost. He sought him, means to give all diligence. He sought him, the Bible said. But then notice what it says that he climbed up, he ran, the Bible said. Now keep in mind, this man, they probably never saw him run. He probably had an entourage wherever he went. He probably had somebody to carry him in one of those things that like they would carry him through town. Or maybe he got his royal chariot and rode down through there. But here he is, this man who's chief of the is running down the road. I'm going to tell you one thing. He's determined to see who Jesus is. Something's got a hold of his heart. He's not interested about what anybody else thinks of him. He's not interested in his reputation right now. And if the Holy Ghost of God gets hold of you just right this morning, you won't say, I'm as good as the preacher. I'm as good as a deacon. I'm as good as anybody else. If I go down there, they'll think I'm a sinner. If you ever get under real Holy Ghost conviction, you'll run to the Savior. And he's running. He's running to where he's at. But notice this. It says in verse number 4, he climbed up in a tree. Climbed up in a tree. I don't believe it's such daily activity. These people have never seen him climb a tree before. I'm certain of that. He climbs up in that tree. He's not interested about what people think about him. He wants to get to the place where he can really know the truth. And I tell you, when God, the Holy Ghost, gets a hold of your heart, he'll get you to the right place to hear the truth. He'll put you in a right place. He'll put somebody in your life. He'll make sure that you know the truth. If you really, nobody dies and goes to hell that really wants to go to heaven. If you really want to go to heaven, he'll get you there. But notice this. In spite of his seeking, in spite of his running, and in spite of him overcoming those obstacles, climbing the tree, he's still a lost man out on a limb. Because it's not enough to just want to. He wants to find out who he is. And it is the knowing him that makes the difference. It's not just going to church. It's not just trying to do the best you can. But it's getting to know him that'll make the difference in your life. And what really makes the difference is the call. The call. He said, come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, wow, that's so simple to read that. But when I got to reading it, I got to looking at that word place. You know what it means? It means the appointed destination. You know, when you're taking your kids to Disney World or to the zoo or somewhere else, and when you leave the house and you get about 100 yards out of the driveway, they say, are we there yet? They got sense enough to know you're not there yet. They're somewhere they want to go. There is an appointed destination. And it says this, verse number 5 again, and when Jesus had come to the place, that was a divine appointed appointment. Zacchaeus was in the right place at the right time. And the Lord Jesus Christ was at the right place at the right time. He was going to meet Jesus and he's going to find out who he is because of a divine appointment. This could be your divine appointment today, here in the building, in the internet audience. I've heard people testify. I've been in services many, many times, they say. We've heard preachers preach and singers sing. But on that certain day, God, the Holy Ghost, showed up. God, it was your time. It was your place. And he showed up at the appointed place. He's right there on time. Notice his call. He's at that right place, Jesus. And notice what it says, and Jesus looked up and he saw him. Jesus is looking at him. Jesus saw him. You say, Brother Billy, nobody cares. Nobody cares about me. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus cares. He sees you. Nobody in that crowd cared anything about this man. But Jesus saw him. He saw his need. He saw his heart. He saw what he needed. Jesus saw him. And then notice what happened. He said this, when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and he saw him. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus. You know, he didn't know who Jesus was, but Jesus knew who he was. He knew his name. He knew him before he was ever born. In fact, he knew him before the world was ever formed. He loved him before the foundation of the world, and he knew him by name, and he called him by name. Can I tell you right now, Jesus knows you. He knows where you are, and he loves you just like you are. He loved Zacchaeus just like he was, and he looked up and he called him. And my dear friend, anytime any person's ever got saved, they didn't just hear the preacher. They didn't hear some loved one or some soul winner. They heard God's voice when he spoke to them and called them by his grace and saved them for Jesus' sake. The Holy Ghost of God speaks to your heart. He'll call your name. It'll be your day. And he called him by name. The Lord Jesus Christ came. Notice what he said to him as he looked up. He said, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. First of all, he said, this is an urgent need you have. Make haste. I'm going to tell you the most important thing in the world is that you get saved. You get saved today. This is the most urgent thing of all the things you've got planned for the rest of the week. If you're lost today, make haste and get saved. You know, you don't ever know when your heart will stop beating. You don't ever know when you'll have an accident and leave this world lost. You don't ever know when Jesus will come and you'll never have another chance. Make haste. Do it now. Jesus said, this is urgent. This is not just something you got time to deliberate on. You need to do it now. Make haste. And he said, come down. Come down. You've got to come to him. He's come to call, but you've got to come to him. The Bible said, Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. He came unto his own received him not, but to as many as received him. You have to come to him. You have to come to him. And he says, you come. He calls. I remember over and over again, I've heard Billy Graham over the years say, God calls. He calls publicly. And he called this man publicly to come to him. He said, make haste and come down, he said. Make haste and come down. He said, for I must abide. In my outline, I emphasize that, underline that. I must abide. If you don't have him, you don't have salvation. You must be born again. You must have the Lord Jesus Christ. He must abide in your heart. And he said, if I abide in your heart, if I abide in you, he said, you can ask what you will and I'll do it. He must abide. I'm not talking about, I love that word abide. It means to dwell there, to come. I'm going to go live at your house for a while. Physically, Jesus would stay there temporarily, but eternally he would abide with this man. If you found Zacchaeus today, if you go to heaven, look around heaven, find Zacchaeus, you know what? Jesus would be abiding with him. He'll live with you forever. When you call on him, he abides with you. He never leave and never forsake you. And Zacchaeus, is it going to experience that? Jesus said, I must abide with you. You can't just get baptized. That's not all there is to it. You can't just start going to church. That's not all there is to it. Can't read the Bible. Just read the Bible. I must abide. I've got to be in you. I've got to be part of your life. I've got to redeem you. I must abide. If you're going to be saved, you got to have him. The call, he said, I must abide. But now notice his conversion in verse number 6. And he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. Oh, watch this. Obedience to the Lord's call. He made haste. He recognized the urgency of it. He did it then. He made haste. No hesitation. He made haste and came down to the Lord. He responded to that call. But notice not only that, but his obedience. He came down. He came down. He obeyed God. What God wanted him to do, he came. And then he said this, and he received him joyfully. There's no question marks. There's no reluctance. He received him joyfully. The Lord Jesus Christ offers to you eternal life. And he said he came unto his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. My dear friend, you must receive him. You can be a Baptist and die and go to hell. You can be a Presbyterian and die and go to hell. But if you'll come to Jesus, if you'll receive him, you'll live forever and ever. He came and received the Lord. You can't just get around him. You can't just want to see him. You might want to know who he is, but you must receive who he is. So I want you to notice this. Notice his confession in verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. Notice his confession. Number one, he stood. He's not ashamed. This man who is renowned in the community as a sinner, everybody knows him. Everybody knows he's the chief of the publicans. Everybody knew him and called him a sinner. But he stood unashamedly and he said, Lord. Notice that. Not only was he not ashamed, but he learned who Jesus was. He wanted to find out who Jesus was, and he called him Lord. Jesus is Lord. He's the only Savior. He's the only one who can give you everlasting life. And that's what he's acknowledging. He is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is he Lord of your life? That means he rules your life. Means you do what he tells you to do. Go where he tells you to go. Give what he tells you to give. Be obedient to him in every way. Is he your Lord? He is Lord. And he acknowledges in that. He acknowledged who he was. He was Lord. He's not ashamed. He acknowledges him as Lord. And then he demonstrates his faith. James said, you show me your faith without works. I'll show you my faith by my works. He believed on the Lord. And he said, listen, Lord, I'm going to give half my good. Not because to be saved. He's already received him. He's already acknowledged him as Lord. But God changed his priority in life. You see, he was all about getting. And now he's going to give half of everything he's got to the poor. And he said, if there's those that I've received things from wrongfully, I'm going to give them back fourfold. He's not doing that to be saved. He's doing that because he is saved. God changed his life. He was a taker. Now he's going to be a giver. He's willing to give, turn loose now. His whole philosophy of life has changed. Would you notice the Lord's confirmation? Notice what he said in verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. This day. I'm reminded of what he said. Today is the day of salvation. And Zacchaeus received the Lord and he got saved right then. Not tomorrow. Not after you do good deeds. But by simple faith and believing that Jesus died to save sinners and receiving him as your Lord. He did that. Now, I told you I was going to preach on the master's mission statement. I just talked about his life. I'm going to give you this real quick. I'm not going to preach on it. But notice what I notice in this simple statement. Verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. In the scriptures, he's called the Son of God. He's deity. He's God. He's also called the Son of David. That identifies him with the nation of Israel. But his favorite name and a way of identifying himself was Son of Man, because that identifies him with the whole human race. He came to save sinners, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. His mission statement as the Son of Man is that he came to give his life a ransom and to die for lost sinners. Notice what his priority is. He said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's his priority. That's the number one reason that he clothed himself in human flesh was so men and women, boys and girls could be saved. And if I'm going to be Christ-like, my top priority in all of my life ought to be that somebody would come to know Christ. Jesus' mission statement was this, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Notice, if you will, please, not only his priority in that statement, but notice his pursuit. He said, I've come to seek. I'm going to find them. There are churches dying across this country because they believe if they put up a sign outside the road and say, y'all come, they'll come. But he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. You don't grow by putting up a sign. You grow by going telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow his example. He said, I've come to seek them out. That means that is an intended purpose. I'm going to go find them. I'm going to find them where they're at. I'm going to love them. I'm going to draw them to myself. I'm going to save them. I'm going to purpose to find them. And a church and an individual who will purpose to find somebody to witness to. You won't have any trouble finding people to witness to. You won't have any trouble at all. They're everywhere. There are a lot of lost people around you. And right around you, anywhere you are in your community, in everyday life, you'll find people that need to be saved. They need somebody to love them, somebody to share Christ with them, somebody to demonstrate the love of Christ. But Jesus' pursuit was this, I'm going to seek them. But then notice something else. Notice his purpose in seeking them. He's not interested in them being a Baptist or being a Methodist or Assembly of God or anything else. He's not interested in getting counting numbers. He said, I'm going to seek and save. Seek and save. His purpose is to save, to forgive of sin, to give him everlasting life. And then notice his perspective, that which was lost. I read over that two or three times before I really understood what he was saying. That which is lost. It's not something thrown away. It's not something that people just cast out into garbage. It's something of value. It's something that somebody cherished. It's something somebody cared about. And it's lost. It's lost. It's not trash. It's not debris. It's something that's lost. It's something that has value. And you say, well, Brother Billy, nobody cares anything about me. He does. He describes them as being lost. They're valuable. They're treasures. They're something that is desired, and it's just lost. I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it. He describes them as something of great value that's lost, not discarded, not thrown away, not forgotten, but something that needs to be sought and something needs to be found. And he said this, that he said they have great value, but they also have great inability. They're lost. They're helpless. They don't know how to get back. They're like a sheep gone astray. Sheep have no sense of direction. He describes them. He said, they're lost. I have to seek them. I have to find them. I have to tell them the gospel because they don't know how to get back. You can't blame them for being like they are. They're like they are because they're lost. And he said, I've got to find them. I'm going to go to where they are. I'm going to love them to myself. I'm going to draw them to myself because they're lost. They don't know how to get back. They're helpless. But thank God they're not hopeless. They are helpless, but they're not hopeless because he said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's great value, not thrown away, not trash, but just lost. He said, I'm going to go get it and I'm going to save it. I'm going to give them everlasting life. I'll make them my children. I'll elevate them to the heights. I'll have them live with me in mansions. And I'll have them to be where I am. They might behold my glory. Oh, his mission statement is one of great perspective. He understands what it means for somebody to be lost. They have great value. And also, they're helpless to get back. But notice his great promise in this mission statement. He said, I'm going to seek them, and I'm going to save them. I'm going to give them everlasting life. And he said, I'm going to seek and to save that which was lost, but it'll be found. Lost and found. Thank God. He said, I'm bringing them home. I'm going to go find them. I'm going to save them. I'll take them home with me. My dear friend, that's what church is all about. That's what this church ought to be about. It's what we as individuals ought to be about. If we're going to do what Jesus did, we need to get our eyes off ourselves. And everybody in here, I was thinking this morning about, hey, I'm a husband, and I'm a daddy, and I'm a grandparent, and that's enough to keep you busy for a long time. And then you know, pastor this church and do the highway shepherd and all the other things. And you're the same way. You've got 10 million things going on in your life. Everything, somebody pulling you all the time from different directions. We got to have this priority to seek and to save that which was lost. Have you ever led a soul to Christ? I was telling you about 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I read it on Wednesday night. The Bible said that we'll all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Last night I heard Hickory Grove sing, and they were a blessing. But Freddie was talking to me. He said, the last song they sing, I'll see you in the rapture. He said, praise God, I ain't going to go to White Throne. I ain't either. We're not going to White Throne. That's for lost people. At the end, when you leave this world, you either saved or lost. It's already done. But you'll have to stand as a lost person for the white throne. You say, why? Because you, just like Christians are going to get reward, there's an examination of you who are lost. You say, what do you mean? Your influence. Not only will you be in hell, but he said, Ezekiel said, if I say to the wicked, they shall surely die, and you don't speak to one of them, his blood will be upon your hand. He's speaking that to those who have a message like redemption message, like a gospel message. But also he holds you accountable if you're lost. Daddy, if you're lost and you live an ungodly life in front of your son or your daughter and they don't ever get saved, if they see you're just making fun of the gospel and they don't get saved and then their children don't get saved and your great-grandchildren don't get saved and your great-great-grandchildren don't get saved, in hell, there's an accountability at the white throne judgment for your influence through all the ages. You think about that. You're accountable, not just for the little capsule of time that you live in, but for your influence in your life. The people that you caused to reject Christ, the people that you influenced in the wrong way. What a great tragedy, great tragedy. But we, as Christians, will have to stand at the judgment seat to answer for the things we've done in our body, whether they were good or bad, not for salvation, we're saved already. But I wonder if there'll be one person in heaven that's there because you've led them to Christ. You prayed for them earnestly. You witnessed to them. You gave to missions and some people you don't ever know. You don't have any idea how many people might have got saved. But I'm just trying to get you to understand during this month of March that we are accountable for missions. God saved us to serve and to be a witness. Ye are the light of the world. Look around you. You're all He's got. You're all He's got. And I know we're not much. I'm not much. But we're all there. Isn't it? It'd be a wonderful thing if we had Charles Spurgeon preaching here today or Adrian Rogers. And you never got to know Avery Rogers. But they're all dead now. So I'm all you got. I feel sorry for you. But you're what He's got. I'm what He's got. It's in His divine plan that you're here today. First of all, let me ask you a question. If you died, would you go to heaven? If not, make haste. Make haste and come down to Jesus. Come to Him now. Make haste. It's an urgent necessity that you get saved. And then if you are saved, will you understand that you're a co-laborer with Him to seek and to save that which was lost? That's what this church is about. That's what we are about. We need to seek and to save that which was lost. Will you bow with me for prayer? As we bow together for prayer this morning, the mission statement of the Master. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Can I tell you, He was born some 2,017 years ago, according to the calendars. We don't know exactly all the time thing. 33 years later, He died on the cross. He died saying this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He gave His life a ransom. He died on that cross that people might be saved. His buried, rose again. When He went back to heaven, He told His disciples, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations. Preach the gospel to everybody. Every nation, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, even to the end of the age, literally what it's saying. I'm with you. That means right on up to 2017, I'll be with you. If we could leave this building this morning for just a few moments and go into the very presence of God in heaven, Lord Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, we could ask Him one question, Lord, what would you have us as a church to do? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What would you have me to do as an individual, Lord? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Seek and save. Seek, get the message of the gospel to lost people. That's my priority. I've not changed my mind. The number one reason I came, suffered, bled, and died so men, women, boys, and girls could be saved. And the number one priority of my church and of my people should be getting people saved. I failed, Lord, so many times. I just have. I've tried to be faithful. I told the Lord a long time ago, if he'd open the door for me to preach, I'd go wherever it was at, whenever it was, if I could, in his time. But there have been so many times, maybe I didn't preach with the anointing power of God on me. Maybe I didn't preach with that sense of urgency that he spoke to Zacchaeus. Make haste. Maybe I wasn't prepared or prayed up, filled with the Holy Ghost I should have been. Maybe what was in me kept people from getting saved. I don't know. I know there's been plenty of times that I should have witnessed personally to people and I failed the Lord. But I don't think I want to do that. If God will help me, we don't have many days left to do what we're going to do as a church. We don't have many days left to do what we're going to do as individuals. And let's make count the days we have. Let's redeem the time. Let's ask God the Holy Ghost every morning, Lord, I know I'm going to come in contact with somebody. And Lord, help me to have boldness. God, help me to have a compassionate, broken heart. Help me to live a life of testimony that I'd be light and salt. And God, give me the right word to say that somebody might come to know you as Savior. Help me to be a witness. God, I want to be soul conscious today. I want to be a witness. I am an ambassador for Christ. Wherever we go and whatever we do, let's ask God to help us to be missionaries. I'm telling you, I'm talking to God's people now. I'm trying to share some things with you that I believe God have you to know. Not for any human reason, but just for a Holy Ghost reason. That your life would count for Christ. You have a great testimony. My dear friend, listen. Heaven's a real place. Heaven's a real place. Let's just get all the stuff that distracts us out of our mind and heart. Say, oh God, use me for a witness. Help me to worship you and love you and serve you. Help me to love God's people. By this y'all men know that you're my disciples. You have love one for another. Help me to love like I ought to love. I just believe some of God's people ought to get around the altar this morning. So God, I want to be a missionary. I want to be a missionary. I explained on Wednesday night that we have men moving from other countries coming here to be a missionary. And they're doing the same thing here they did over there. We got people leaving here, going to the mission field in Africa and Suriname and India and everywhere else. And they do the same thing to do here. It's just a matter of where you are in the world, but it's the same thing. You're doing the same thing. And so every day you may not leave this place geographically and go to China or India or somewhere, but you are a missionary right here now. To love people, witness to them, and seek some way to find how to get the gospel to them. I want to invite you to just come to it, make a personal commitment to the Lord. I prayed again in the office before I came in here this morning. Ask God, God, use me today. I want to be a witness. I might not get a chance to ever preach again. God, I pray you'd help me to witness for you today. I pray this morning, if you're here and you're lost, that you trust Christ. And the same appeal goes to those in the media audience. One of the six states that's listening to us this morning, whoever you are, he loved you. And he wants you to be a witness where you are. And if you're not saved, he wants to save you. The Bible said, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord, if you'd call on him right now, he'd save you. You might pray a prayer something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe you died, were buried, and rose again. I believe you're alive, Lord. Come in my heart, forgive me of all my sins. Save me right now for Jesus' sake. My dear friend, if you believe on him, if you call on him from heart, he said, if you'll call on me, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe he'll save you. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, once again, I pray, God, that you'll do that only God can do. I pray you draw people by your grace. God, I pray you'd awaken and convict some young boy, some young girl, some man, woman. I pray they'll hear you call their name and that this will be the day that they with haste will come and receive Christ as Savior and Lord. I pray, our Father, for God's people who come and get around this altar today, that God, you'd help us be a witness. God, we don't have the boldness we ought to have. We think we don't know what to say. But God, you said that if we'd be willing that you'd tell us what to say at that time. It may not be what we think we ought to say. It may not be what we had planned to say. But God, if you'll put it in our heart, God, help me to be obedient to you. Help all my friends to be obedient to you. God, we'll thank you and praise you.